This is Amber Johnson. What began as a simple workshop in the Heber Valley has become something more, a space where resilience quietly reveals itself. Now, a quick note before we continue. This story includes discussion of addiction, suicide, and domestic abuse. Last week on the Community Campfire, I sat down with Kathy Carr from the Wasatch Community Foundation to talk about Women Rising, their free quarterly workshop series designed to spark growth and connection for women of all ages and backgrounds. I attended their recent skincare workshop, hoping to give my somewhat neglected beauty regimen a little help. I did leave with some useful tips, but what stayed with me wasn't the routine, it was the connection. You see, Kathy has a way of shaping the room so stories surface. Not polished presentations, but honest reflections. I later circled back with two women I met that night. One rebuilt her story after leaving an abusive marriage and returning to school later in life. The other spoke about addiction, jail, and how choosing sobriety over a decade ago saved her life. This story isn't so much about their pasts as it is about the courage it took to start over and the beautiful lives they're shaping now.
Hi, my name is Beth Wiles, and at age 60, I reinvented myself after leaving an abusive relationship.
Beth is the mother of two grown daughters and four grandchildren. She spent most of her life in Austin, Texas, before moving to Heber in 2022. Abuse was part of her childhood story, even if she didn't have the language for it then. Years later, she found herself in a marriage shaped by similar patterns. For nearly 37 years, she stayed, for her daughters and because she couldn't see a way out. When her children left home, the atmosphere shifted. What had long been difficult became increasingly psychologically, emotionally, and financially hostile.
In the meantime, I called the abuse hotline. And I said to them, you know, I'm in this kind of a, you know, situation. Is this abuse? And they were like, yeah, of course it is.
She began quietly exploring what it would take to leave, at times fearing for her life.
I mean, he was like begging me not to leave.
Yeah.
You know, at the same time, I didn't know how he was going to react because he was explosive.
The tipping point came when she discovered he had placed a tracker on her car and a microphone inside their home. She left and stayed briefly with a friend, but when he began stalking her there, she fled to Utah. By then, he had turned her daughters against her, and she found herself navigating the upheaval largely on her own. So, after 37 years of marriage, how did you begin to rediscover who you were outside of that relationship?
I mean, it was really hard. I knew that I had to support myself. And because he was so controlling, I didn't work outside the home because he wanted me to be available so that I could travel. And so I decided, well, I'm going to go back to school and become an esthetician. And here I am at age 60, attending full-time aesthetic school, right? And I was really frightened because I had no self-esteem left. It was just scary. Like, I didn't do any of our bills. I didn't get to book any of our travel, any of those things.
Beth says she eventually found her place among the younger students and discovered a career she felt truly called to. Now 63, her relationship with her daughters is healing, and she runs her thriving business, Wild Skin Rejuvenation, from her home. So tell me, are there small, ordinary moments now that just feel extraordinary for you?
Yes. I mean, I'm doing more travel now. I am tickled beyond, you know, it's just to me, it is so amazing to have my own business and have other people come to you and say, oh my gosh, like, that was the best facial I have ever had. I mean, I do all my own finances now, which I never did before. And so it's just, I have finally grown up, and it's just been an amazing experience for me.
From the fear and isolation of her past to a place of profound change, Beth's journey is a reminder that transformation is possible at any stage of life.
It's really beyond words. You can't really describe it. It's just this feeling, this euphoric feeling, right, of like, wow, look what I've done. I mean, especially when my therapist says to me, I said to her, how do other people move on from a situation like this. And she said, Beth, I really don't have many people that I either have helped or currently helped that have left their marriages. And I'm like, what? She's like, it's not very common. So to me, I'm just so proud of myself. It wasn't an easy journey, but it was a necessary journey for me. And now I'm so elated.
For Lindy Scott, moving to Heber wasn't just a change of scenery. It's the place she literally credits with saving her life.
And I moved up here because I had to get sober and I couldn't figure it out in Salt Lake. So actually 11 years on March 8th will be my sobriety date. I mean, I was in and out of jail. Like I said, I couldn't figure it out down there.
Her journey to that moment had been long and difficult. Lindy began using drugs at 13, searching for a sense of worth she couldn't find in herself. Her addictions led to years of struggles with the law, jail, and periods of homelessness. On October 17th, 2013, everything changed. She hadn't spoken to her family in months. The lies and stealing had driven a wedge between them. And with warrants out for her arrest, she found herself in a very dark place. But that night, her breaking point also became her turning point.
And it got to the point that I was so broken and just an empty shell that I wanted to end my life. So I actually was planning to commit suicide. I was standing on top of an overpass in downtown Salt Lake, getting ready to jump off the overpass. And my dad called me and out of the blue, asked me what I was doing. And at that moment, I was like, what the heck am I doing?
So why was he calling you in that moment?
To this day, I don't know. He just felt like he needed to call me. And I'm sure if he didn't call me, I would not be here today. 100% would not be here because that's how close I was to jumping.
She was arrested later that night and spent a year in jail. When she got out, she was scared she would slip back into her old lifestyle. Her probation officer warned that another misstep could send her to prison for 15 years. She knew she needed a fresh start. That's when she moved to the Heber Valley to help a friend care for his daughter. In Heber, she gradually found the space she needed to reclaim herself.
It's been, like I said, life-changing up here.
So talk to me about some of those people who changed your life during this time.
Well, definitely, he's now my husband, so definitely him. And so the little girl was his daughter, and I've now been able to adopt her. They definitely have changed my life. Some of my friends that I've met along the way have changed my life. Just the community in general has been very welcoming. I think publicly this is the first time I've shared my story, but the people that know the ins and outs that I've shared my story with have been really like receptive, and so I just think that it's been the best thing I've ever done.
It's beautiful. So how has your understanding of addiction changed for you now, 11 years sober, and looking back at that, even that 13-year-old girl who first took this path? What would you say to her and the woman you were in between that point and your sobriety?
I think I used to judge when I was younger. I used to judge at it and think that they were like, oh, why are they doing that? Why can't they get off of it? I guess really, I mean, so I'm trying not to cry. That there's help and that you're not alone. I mean, it's the hardest thing I've ever done, and to not give up. Even on your darkest days, there's always help. You just have to reach out to someone, anyone.
Now Lindy's days are quieter and steadier, shaped by care for herself and her loved ones. She attends workshops like Women Rising, nurtures her sobriety, laughs, rests, and is present for her husband and 16-year-old daughter. So what part of your journey feels the most sacred to you?
The day that I was able to adopt her, because I was in the courtroom and so I'd written a letter to the judge explaining my past, and obviously the judge was able to look at my record, and the judge looked at me and said, you know, why should I allow you to adopt a child given your past? And I was able to explain to her the reasons why I felt I should be able to adopt my daughter. And she looked at me and she said, I absolutely agree with you. You've changed your life around, and I think that you will be a good role model and a good fit for her. And so when she granted me the permission and agreed that the state of Utah agreed with that decision, I think it was life-changing for me.
We all face struggles. Sitting with Beth and Lindy reminded me that our past choices and circumstances don't have to define our future. Seeing them reach the other side with strength and hope shows how we can be more compassionate with ourselves and others, while also realizing what's possible in shaping our own stories. And maybe that's what Women Rising is all about, rising together. This is Amber Johnson for the Community Campfire.